Don't go away, Carolyn, because we have a third feature for you to read this week. This was written by Derek James, a frequent contributor to the evening news, and tells the surprising story of Norwich as the birthplace of provincial newspapers. Here is Carolyn again.
In 1700, Francis Burgess, an enterprising young printer from London, decided to try his luck and establish a press in Norwich. The result was the Weekly Norwich Post, first published on September 6, 1701, said to be the first provincial newspaper in the land. As our former journalist Tony Clark wrote in the book Pilgrims of the Press, Burgess, a pioneer in the process of disseminating newses, a process which was to lead eventually to a national press, television and the internet. Young Burgess, aged 24, a printer, decided to come to Norwich because it was one of the largest and busiest cities in the land. As Daniel Defoe, who was the first great English journalist as well as a novelist, wrote in 1723, there were 120,000 people employed in the woollen and silk and wood manufacturers of the city. Not that all the people lived in the city, though Norwich is a very large and populous city too. But I say, they were employed for spinning the yarn used for such goods as were all made in the city, he wrote. And went on, the manufacturers assured me that there was not in all the eastern and middle part of Norfolk any hand unemployed. If they would work, and that the very children after 4 or 5 years of age could everyone earn their own bread. Burgess' newspaper was a modest sheet of 4 pages, mostly highlighting foreign and London news from a little printing house at Redwell, at the top of Redwell Street in the city. This was said to be the first printing house in the city producing the first English provincial newspaper, the Norwich Post. In later years, Eastern Counties newspapers set up their HQ in Redwell Street. Burgess was reported to be making about 50 shillings a week, handy money at the time. People enjoyed it, but Burgess died in 1706 and newspaper warfare arrived in the city. By the end of the year, Norwich had more papers than any other provincial city. Along with the Post came the Postman and the Gazette. The original Post disappeared in around 1713, and the Postman merged with the Weekly Mercury, which later changed to the Norwich Mercury, arriving in 1726 and becoming part of city life for around 200 years. For 40 years, from 1804 to 1844, it was under the editorship of the brilliant Richard Mackenzie Bacon, who invented the first practical rotary press and for some years ran his own paper mill at Taverham. Let's have a look at some of the stories in early editions of the old Mercury. 1802. In January it was reported, Thomas Paine of Thetford is at Paris and applies himself very closely to mechanics and is about to present the world with a new discovery. Then in December, Tom Paine, it is stated, was detained at Havre for more than a month, being unable to prevail on any of the Americans' captains to afford him a passage. March the 6th. A special court of guardians held in Norwich on Monday last, it was resolved that a petition should be presented to Parliament for leave to bring in a bill to enable the guardians to build a new workhouse in this city. March 13th. Monday last, some labourers making a Warren bank in the parish of Brandon dug up four human skeletons, which were buried about a yard below the surface of the ground. They lay in a straight line, and the teeth in one of the heads are as white as ivory. March the 20th. The late Earl of Mountrath, whose death has been announced in public papers, amongst his charitable donations has bequeathed a legacy of £2,000 to the Norfolk and Norwich Hospital to be paid within months of his decease. July the 24th. The King has been pleased to grant to the Right Honourable Horatio Viscount and Baron Nelson of the Nile and Burnham Thorpe in the County of Norfolk, etc., etc., his royal licence and permission to receive and wear the ensign of Knight Grand Commander of the Order of St. Joachim. November the 13th. Two bird fanciers in St. Giles, Norwich, on Thursday, betted a wager of a guinea that one of their goldfinches sang better than another. The birds were placed cage to cage. The contest lasted 40 minutes when one of them fell off his perch in convulsions and expired. The other was so exhausted that it did not survive above 2 hours.
Thank you, Carolyn.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Chatterbox. We always like to hear from you. If you have any messages, please do call us on 01603 765 365. That's 01603 765 365. And if necessary, leave a message on our answer phone. We will definitely get back to you as soon as we can. You can also email us on contact@cbtn.org.uk or visit our website on www.cbtn.org.uk or just put a message in the wallet when you return it.
When you have finished with this recording, put the memory stick in the wallet supplied and drop it in a postbox, not forgetting to turn the address label over. You do not have to pay any postage at all, as the postal service is free. We hope you have enjoyed this edition of Chatterbox, and our thanks go to the whole of the team which has produced it. The editor today was David Potten, and the sound recordist was Catherine Rose. Please remember that after this edition of Chatterbox, we have the latest report from Chris Skinner at High Ash Farm. So please carry on listening. So from Chatterbox this week, it's goodbye from me, Jane Pratt.
And it's goodbye from me, Robin Quine. Goodbye.